What the EFL? It's the Football League podcast gearing up for one more round. Coming up, the inside story of the EFL Awards, ahead of the final weekend of the regular season, the issues that have been settled and those still to be decided. Powered by Quinbet. This is What the EFL, and this is very much the home stretch. We've got the final weekend of the regular season coming up and so much still to be decided. It promises to be a fascinating finale to the season. We're here to look ahead to it and look back on what's happened since last we spoke. It's me, Matt Davis Adams. I am joined as ever by Sam Parkin. Hi, Sam.
Hello, Matt. How you doing, mate?
I'm all right, yeah. Adrian Clark's with us too. Just about to head off to the World Championships of Snooker. Promises to be a tension-filled evening, so a good way to get prepared for the final weekend in the EFL, I guess.
Absolutely, yeah. Now, I'm looking forward to the snooker. Obviously, it clashes with Arsenal PSG. I've had an absolute stinker, but I'm going to have a great day. So, yeah, if anyone is listening to this afternoon on Monday, not Monday, Tuesday, you can see me dozing off on the front row a little bit later.
Look forward to that. Right, before we get into the EFL Awards, where Clarkey was on the red carpet, let me remind you that our partners, Quinbet, have an offer for you. You can now get 50% back, up to £35 and 10 free spins. If your account has sportsbook losses at the end of your first day's betting, Quinbet will refund 50% of your losses as a free bet up to £35, minimum three bets, plus 10 free online casino spins at Quin Casino. Even if your account's up, you're guaranteed a £5 free bet plus 10 free spins, provided you place at least one bet of £10 or greater at the minimum odds. T's and C's apply. It's 18 plus for new UK customers only. Visit gamblerware.org for information on responsible gambling. Right then, Adrian, as we said, you were at the EFL Awards on Sunday night. What were you doing there?
Good, yeah, it was a good experience. Yeah, I was just doing the interviews for TalkSport, and it was good. Like, I don't normally do that sort of thing, so I was dreading it a little bit, but it was actually quite good fun. It was at the Hilton Park Lane. It was, very swanky. A lot of glamour in the room. It was who's who, really, of the EFL world. I got to speak to Scott Parker. Scott Parker was very nice to me. He was superb. James Trafford, didn't realise what a character he is. Spoke to Estev, one of my favourite players, of course. Gus Hamer, Sargent, Chris Davis, Richard Kone, Graham Alexander. Nathan Lowe was there, got an award, Young Player of the Year, only played half a season. Spoke to David McGoldrick as well, Notts County Ledge. And I tried three times in vain to get Joe Bellingham, but the Sunderland media team were man-marking him big style. So I didn't get a sniff. I got three custard pies. But it was a really good evening. The Burnley table were definitely the liveliest. Shout out, by the way, I don't want to forget, shout out to Will Pickworth from the Daily Mail. It does the EFL for them. Big listener, loves the pod. So it was good to chat to him. And yeah, all I will say is that the choice of awards, the winners, was controversial in my mind. There's a lot of slightly rogue choices.
Clarkey, were you Gary Cottrell, Martin Brundle? What was your
Moose.
Louis Theroux?
Louis Theroux, yeah.
Technique.
What's my techers?
Dennis Pennis.
Did you have someone going and bringing the guests over?
I did. I tapped up some very kind people at the EFL who basically brought people over to me. So I'm not a natural like the Moose at TalkSport, sort of barging my way through people to get what I need. I got to say, it helps when you got a cameraman and a TalkSport mic with you, because it's like, oh yeah, I don't mind speaking to them rather than if I just had my phone in my hand, I'll just look like a random. So it was good. It was a fun night, but obviously couldn't booze. Just said, it was all a little bit sober from my end. It was right.
All right, before we hear a couple of clips then, Sam, you've got beef with Gustavo Hammer getting player of the season in the championship. Who should have had it instead?
Oh, in my opinion, either the aforementioned Estev at Burnley or the goalkeeper at Burnley. I love Harmer. I think he's brilliant. I love that he's the game changer for Sheffield United. I think when you're looking for a little bit of magic, he's often provided that this season. He was incredible at Coventry, but I don't think he's had a outstanding season. And I'd have two or three of the Leeds lads in front of him as well. He's probably been the pick for Sheffield United because they lost Suter. They lost someone else who I can't recall. But the goalkeeper at Sheffield United you'd maybe have there. And you'd have Souza, possibly, as well, in front of Harmer. I'd be interested to see who's their player of the year when it comes around. But I think, yeah, absolutely, the two lads at Burnley have probably missed out there and should have been one of those picking it up.
Yeah, well, Brownhill should have been in the team of the season.
Yeah,
well,
Brownhill, sorry. Yeah, for the goals alone in the last few weeks of the season, Brownhill for the... And I spoke about the amount of points that it's accrued for the club as well recently. You know, massive goals, big moments. So, yeah, he absolutely would be in my top five as well.
All right, well, you can console yourself with the fact that Richard Kone did the double.
The king.
Just as you wanted. He's back. Mentioned Estev there. Clarkey caught up with Maxime Estev, the Burnley defender. He started by talking about Scott Parker.
Top manager. He has a great career about footballer, so he has great experience about high level. So that's amazing. We are 97 point now, so that's a great achievement. Yeah, also, we stay a long time in the training ground, sometime for hard work, but he loved the hard work. He will the unity and the desire about everyone. So he is a great manager and top guy. But everyone is ready to play in Premier League. And honestly, we have one of the best dressing room I never see. It's crazy. Everyone is a friend in the dressing room. So that's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. And what do you think is the secret to surviving in the Premier League? What is the secret?
Yeah, I think it's just hard work. If everyone work for everyone, that's the key for me. It's just the basics about the foundation. So if we keep this mentality and the desire to work for everyone, that's a good key, yeah.
Adrian was intrepid in his role as reporter. Nathan Lowe, who we mentioned, also stopped for a chat. You'll remember, listen, that I flagged him way back at the start of the season as one to watch, long before it was cool to do so. He was named Young Player of the Year in League Two. Let's hear from him now.
It's a pleasant surprise, don't get me wrong. I'm very grateful to be nominated, even if I don't win. You know, it's a great achievement for myself and my family, and you know, we're gonna have a great night regardless. So I'm glad whoever decided that they had me in their thoughts. So I appreciate that.
Talk us through what it was like banging them in left, right, and centre for Walsall. They're absolutely flying at the time.
Yeah, I mean, it was euphoric, really. I mean, it was just really surreal and not what I expected my first loan to be. Heard a lot of horror stories about, you know, from my teammates at Stoke before I went, about their first loans and you know, how they're not always a success. I think everyone was telling me, just go and just get as much as you can out of it. And then, you know, it just sort of, they started flying in and I mean, I expected it. I think one of my first interviews with Walsall, like the media team, was that I wanted to be in and around the goals come the end of the season. Obviously, I was recalled in January, but I still scored a fair few goals and I think I did just that. So I was really happy with how it went.
Yeah, how disappointed were you not to get a crack at winning the Golden Boot? Because you're absolutely on course for it.
Obviously, the accolade would have been brilliant and, you know, on your mantelpiece, it's a nice thing to have. But I know with myself that I would have had a fair chance, provided I didn't get injured, to win it. So that's all I need. I don't need a big shiny trophy to tell me that I was able to do it at that level, and I think I'm grateful for the opportunity going back at Stoke. And although it didn't quite work out, I wouldn't have it any other way. I wouldn't change it. As much as I love being at Walsall, and I would have been really happy to be there the whole season, but it's still a step upwards going to Stoke and trying to develop myself in training, and it's given me a chance to sort of step back, work on my body physically and stuff that maybe I wouldn't have got at Walsall. So I'm trying to see the positives in maybe less positive situations.
He spoke really well, didn't he, Adrian? There, it was interesting to hear from him. He was pretty candid. Maybe the Sunderland media team were earwigging on that and thought, okay, we'll keep Bellingham away from this chap.
No, he was lovely. He's very intelligent. When he went up on stage, they talked about him doing a degree. He wants a backup, you know, in case he doesn't make it. But you know, I think he's going to make it. He's got a very bright future ahead of him, Nathan Lowe. Really smart kid, modest. But yeah, he was open and, you know, he was disappointed that he had to go back, but he's trying to see the positives. But yeah, and obviously feels for Walsall. You'd feel a little bit guilty, wouldn't you? Because I don't think there's any chance Walsall wouldn't have been promoted had he stayed. So yeah, he was really, really good lad, very bright. And yeah, wherever he ends up next season in terms of a loan spell, assuming he goes out alone again, I'm sure he'll do great.
All right. Well, that sounds like a fun evening. It's going to be a massive weekend ahead, but there's a big one just past too. We're going to round up and look ahead to the championship action next. So Leeds are favourite to take the title. They beat Bristol City in thumping good fashion at Elland Road on Monday night. That means the Robins missed the opportunity to book their playoff place. Victory for Farkas fellas at Plymouth will guarantee they take the title. It'll also see them reach the 100 point mark. Plymouth, as we will say shortly, are pretty much down anyway. 4-0 on Monday night. Sam, what did you make of these reports that Daniel Farke might be moved on before he gets the chance to manage in the Premier League again? Seems to have gone quiet, but it was sort of 48 hours after promotion was assured, wasn't it, we first heard this?
Yeah, not really surprised, because I think, you know, there's so much spoken about that gap now and about this issue in particular, about the potential of teams getting promoted and then changing. I think I heard on TalkSport them having an hour or so dedicated to it a week or two ago on one of the shows, because I think it's quite a hot topic. I can understand it, but I think from a human perspective, it would still be incredibly harsh and still a big surprise and a real show of defiance, I think, from the supporters last night. They sung his name, I think, which has not always been evident. Obviously, after some of the thumping home victories, he does his lap of celebration, and they seem to really buy into that. He just looks like a brilliant guy. Obviously never worked with him, but he looks like the type of manager you'd love to play for. Me and Clarke have been consistent that we think, you know, tactically there's probably been better managers in the Championship across the last couple of years, and again there will be in the Premier League. And it didn't go well for him at Norwich, but you'd like to think that he'll be given another opportunity. He can grow, can't he, as a coach and as a manager. He can learn from the mistakes that previously there were in charge of Norwich, and they just need to add the right players. Like all teams going up, need to get the required level of quality into the squad, and with Leeds' support and with that power, you know, they could stay in the division. But of course, it's going to be a huge challenge.
It's harsh, isn't it, Clarkie? But I feel like if you're going to do it, this is the right time to do it, rather than wait till the October international break when you've given him the pre-season and let him sign off on the players. But I guess the flip side of that is you'd need to have a better candidate in place who's ready to come in.
Yeah, look, he's earned nearly 200 points in two seasons in charge of Leeds. You know, does he deserve a shot at it? Of course he does. At least let him muck it up rather than just showing no belief in a guy that's earned you nearly 200 points over two seasons. I think it would be a bit ridiculous, to be perfectly honest, if they did get rid of him. That said, for him personally, it would garner a lot of sympathy, and he would get himself a plum job somewhere else. And look, it's got to be more fun managing the Championship than the Premier League, right? It's got to be. It's got to be more enjoyable. Just do it again. Go somewhere else and get them promoted and take the accolades if they do make that decision. But yeah, no one's ever deserved the sack less, really, than Daniel Farke.
Sorry, this is not going to be the best anecdote I've ever told, but I heard Stan Collymore talking about a couple of clubs in the Premier League that maybe need a bit of a refresh, and he spoke about possibly bringing in someone in the backroom staff just to freshen things up, a new voice akin to what Sir Alex used to do at Manchester United. And these are the conversations that I'm sure Daniel Farke and the hierarchy at Leeds, the directors of football, need to be having. How are you going to approach it next season? Because if we go in maybe as attack-minded as we are, without the ability to play different ways, then there's only going to be one result. So I suppose it's about having that clarity, and maybe they can alter one or two things. And like I said, there's no reason as to why Daniel Farke can't play a slightly different style when they make the jump into the Premier League. And that's what he's going to have to do. Otherwise, unfortunately, it's going to be a season where they're going to be hugely up against it if they don't adapt.
All right, so they're bound for the Premier League. Cardiff, though, bound for League One. First time in 22 years they're going to be in the third tier. This after their relegation was confirmed following the weekend draw with West Brom. It's felt inevitable for a while, this, Clarkie, hasn't it? And I don't just mean this season. It feels like they've been circling the drain, as the phrase goes, for a while. And there's only so long you can get away with that, especially when you've got an owner who's not particularly interested, it would seem, and not putting much money in.
The sad part of this is it feels like it's been a malaise at the club for a long time. Sam's been down there a fair bit. Obviously, the South Wales derby's a massive occasion, but he's been there for other games. I've been there for other games. And it's a bit flat, and it's not a lot of energy in the stadium. It's not a lot of passion there. It feels like, you know, the fans have disconnected really with the team and certainly with the board, and that isn't a recipe for success, is it? They tried to play a bit more football this year and they'd succeeded in a way, and they had some good performances, played some nice stuff, but ultimately they just, yeah, not good enough at both ends of the pitch. Only two players scored more than three goals. You're in trouble if that's going to be the case, aren't you? Didn't score enough set-piece goals. That's always going to be a big thing for a team like Cardiff. And they're just too many draws, Matt. Way too many draws. I think 17 of them. They're actually not... They're quite hard to beat, Cardiff. They haven't been smashed that many times. I think there's six teams that have lost more, but too many draws, and that will kill you. How about this for a stat? They've just gone down and they're rock bottom. They lost away to all of the top four. Fine. They're unbeaten away to every single team between 5th and 15th. Cardiff City. You know, some very, very good teams in that list. And they're unbeaten in all those away games. So they're not a disaster of a team by any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, at both ends of the pitch, just not quite good enough this season.
Saw Sam Michael Chopra, obviously former Cardiff player, suggesting that it might be easier for Aaron Ramsey to manage Cardiff in League One than the Championship, a little bit out of the spotlight. Would you go along with that? Or surely it's better to get somebody who knows how to get out of the division to try and get you back?
At this juncture, it almost feels like having a plan and sticking to it and having a bit of a rebuild would be more important than the immediate promotion, which sounds bizarre. I know me saying it out loud feels a little bit that way, but I just think, you know, it's just it's been a series of events that have been mismanaged, I think, over a number of seasons. And I think even this season, the decision to go with Omar Rica, weeks after he'd kind of been put in charge as an interim, I think it would have been better suited going for a little bit more experience at that point. I think I made that exact kind of remark last week on the podcast or the previous podcast. So I think they've made a little bit of a mess of it this season. It was a squad that was aging, wasn't it, a few years ago? A lot of experience. They've ripped that up, tried to go with a more positive brand of football, if you like, and that lasted very, very briefly under, I think it was Steve Morrison, then Mark Hudson took the reins. Obviously Bullock came in latterly and seemed to have got a little bit of a rapport with the supporters, and there was real excitement in the summer. If you think back, Willock came in, El Ghazi, Robertson, who was well sorted after loads of clubs after that brilliant loan spell at Pompey. So there was real excitement, but for one reason or another, it's just not happened. So I think it's a club that absolutely, above so many others at the level, need to have a concise plan moving forward. Otherwise, this could be a few years, you know, down in the third tier.
Not exactly the best way to mark their 125th anniversary. All right, so they're down. We'll discuss who might be joining them in getting relegated from Tier 2 next. Right, final day then in the Championship. All 24 teams kick off at 12:30. Playoff places up for grabs, which we'll discuss shortly, but the real drama is at the bottom. Plymouth all but certain to join Cardiff in League One next season. It's one of those, isn't it? We say all but certain. I mean, they need to beat Leeds and have at least a 16-goal swing. So I think we can say with some confidence that they are down. Hull City occupy the final relegation spot, but Luton, Preston, Derby and Stoke all still in danger of going down on the final day. Derby and Stoke meet at Pride Park. Preston are at Bristol City. Hull go to Portsmouth. Love this. This is right up your street, Clarkey. Gab Sutton, EFL expert and guest of the show in previous times, has pointed out that Coventry could make the playoffs and Preston could go down, despite Coventry having lost more games than Preston over the course of the season, which is absolutely incredible, really, isn't it? And I wonder, Adrian, I mean, Hull obviously are the team that are most likely to go. Quinbet have got them at 11-10 to be the side that drops, but they're just a point back. And Preston are an interesting one, right? Not least because they're playing Bristol City, who need a result themselves, but also they might not have Paul Heckingbottom on the touchline. He might get a ban. He's been charged with misconduct relating to an incident in the Easter Monday game against Hull. Is it a stretch for me to say that Preston might go, or do you think that Hull are, you know, the one that are going to drop given they're a point back?
Oh, it's really hard to tell. Preston could go, definitely, because I think they're likely to lose. I mean, Bristol City were pretty poor at Leeds. You know, they didn't offer up much. They're going to have to be miles better than that, but they will. I would expect a massive reaction at Ashton Gate in front of what it'll be a sellout, won't it? It'll be a huge atmosphere there. Yeah, I think Bristol City, it's a hard game for both teams, but Bristol City can absolutely beat them, and then they're in trouble, aren't they? Because I think Hull's... I'm not sure what the goal difference is like between Hull and Preston.
Preston is minus 11, Hull is minus 10. So very, very little between them. It's Luton who are the danger with the goal difference because they're on minus 22, but they are a point better off than Hull.
Yeah, so it could absolutely happen. I mean, will Hull go to Fratton Park and win? Because they need to win. A draw won't really be enough, I don't think, for Hull City. Plymouth are the only bottom half team that have gone there and won this season. Portsmouth obviously really strong at home. There's nothing on it for them, but you know, we've seen it many times where there's nothing on it and teams still super professional. So Hull are probably worthy favourites, but I could see Preston slip in. I think Luton going to West Brom is winnable. They can get something from it. And Derby and Stoke, I mean, it's winner survives. Yeah, they might carve up a draw depending on what happens. You know, word of what's going on around the country. But it's gonna be brilliant to watch it unfold. Unless you're a fan of one of the clubs.
I think, Sam, I was thinking about this in the Stoke Derby game, and my inkling was the same as Adrian's, that they might just, you know, think that a draw will suit us both fine. But that's really too risky for them to do, isn't it? Because a draw would leave Derby on 50 points. So if Hull win, then they've got more points than them. So they're both going to have to go for a win, really, aren't they, in that game?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think just looking at it now, the bottom seven, Stoke and Preston are in grave danger, particularly Preston. I think when you look at the fixtures, I fancy Hull and Luton to win their games against teams that are not playing for anything. Yeah, Pompey, as Clarkie says, have been imperious at Fratton Park, but I'd fancy Hull there on the final day, and I'd fancy Luton to continue in the same vein that they've been in. For Hull, just one stat. I think they've only scored one open play goal in the last seven. There's been two penalties, and there was a brilliant header from Hughes at Hillsborough from a dead ball.
And you still fancy them?
I just think Portsmouth have done astonishingly well, and obviously that plays a part in it. I just think one of those games might be relatively comfortable, Luton or Hull. The other one maybe not so much, but I think they could potentially win their games. Preston are obviously in wretched form. Another quick stat, they haven't won against anyone away from home in the top half, and City have not lost, Bristol City, to anyone in the bottom half. So given what's on it, you'd think it was a home banker, but I just think Preston, they're still in every game. They're still scoring in every game. I think a lot of the supporters have been a little bit surprised at the lack of panic and the way they've sleepwalked into this position, and even some of the comments post-match the other day. The reality is they're in a ridiculously precarious position. So yeah, that's going to be fascinating which way that one goes. And Stoke Derby, I think on the face of it, you back Derby in their form, but Stoke, up to the Leeds defeat and Sheffield United defeat, had taken something from the previous five games. So they were doing what we anticipated, grinding out points. But this is going to go down to the wire. This has got the potential to be a team that had a huge gap between them and relegation a few weeks ago, being the team that drops to the third tier.
Derby 18-1 to go down with Quinbet, by the way. Right.
How much you got on that, Matt?
500. Colours to the mast then. I'm going to say Hull and be boring. What about you, Adrian? Who's joining Plymouth and Cardiff?
Yeah, do you know what? I'm going to be boring. I think it'll be Hull.
Same for you, Sam?
I don't think Hull will win at Pompey.
Is it going to change hands like 50, 60 times and be the commentator's absolute worst nightmare as they try and work it all out during the day? Or is it just going to be routine and it starts as it finishes, Hull go down?
I told you, mate. Sorry, my mate, Tom. Preston, sorry.
Oof.
Be a good story, wouldn't it? Not if you're a Preston fan, mind you. In terms of the playoffs, Bristol City, Coventry, Millwall, Blackburn and Middlesbrough go into the final day with a chance of finishing in the top six. 2 points separate Coventry in sixth and Borough in ninth. They play each other. Bristol City fifth, a point ahead of seventh Millwall. As we said, Bristol City home to Preston. Millwall go to Burnley. Blackburn to Sheffield United. Going to Turf Moor, Adrian, as we know, not easy by any stretch of the imagination, but you've just told is that the players might well still be drunk, so maybe not as difficult as first thought. Bristol City in Coventry in pole position, right? They need to make a mess of it for Millwall, Blackburn or Borough to sneak in.
Yeah, you'd expect Bristol City and Coventry to both win with home games, but you know they're both tough home games because if Borough beat Coventry, they go above them. So you know that's the possibility. And obviously Preston, for obvious reasons, are going to be highly motivated. So they're not gimmies. It's a good time for Blackburn to go to Bramall Lane, by the way. I didn't see their revival coming under Valerian Ismail. No, I don't think anyone did. But they're the team with momentum, really. I think they got a great chance of going there and winning, because really Sheffield United don't need the game, do they? They're thinking about the playoffs. They're going to rest a load of players, I'm sure. And having seen Burnley, probably on a slight hangover at Loftus Road, I'm not worried about them. They were absolutely sensational against QPR, even though QPR weren't good. They were outstanding, and they want the title. Scott Parker is desperate to win the title for the first time. You know, Leeds going to Plymouth, and you know what Plymouth are like down there. They might come out swinging. Yeah, I think Burnley, I can't see Millwall getting anything out of that game. So if anyone's going to nip in, I think it'll be Blackburn.
Yeah, it's tough to see Middlesbrough doing it, isn't it, Sam? Because, you know, they should have beaten Norwich at the weekend at the Riverside. That would have put them in a far greater position. It is tight, though, between Cov and Millwall. Level on points, only one goal different between them. So, that, you know, there's a scenario where Millwall pick up a bigger win than Coventry and they end up going ahead of them. But you'd back definitely Bristol City, I think, but also Coventry, right? Home to Borough. I mean, not an easy game by any stretch of the imagination, but given how Coventry have been, is it going to stay as was? Bristol City and Coventry take the last two places?
Well, I think right now, out of the five, Millwall and Blackburn are the two form sides. I think, yeah, Bristol City over a longer period, absolutely. But I think there's problems at Coventry. They've lost some big characters to injury. Some big players dove in a few weeks ago. Thomas is going to be a big miss, you know, in the playoffs. And I think Van Ewijk missed the other day as well. Still, I look at the 11 that took to the field at Luton, and they should be performing better than they currently are. So marginally, I would take Coventry to win this game over Middlesbrough. You don't know what you're going to get with Middlesbrough, really. Their record, I know this goes out the window a little bit on final day against the top seven. Terrible. 1 point from six games. So that's where they've faltered, really, against the better sides in the division. Millwall are full of confidence. They won at Sheffield United, but I'd have to echo what Clarkey said. So therefore, it's going to come down to, I think, Bristol City and potentially Blackburn creeping in. I'm probably more confident about Blackburn winning at Sheffield United because of the position that Sheffield United are in with games ahead. So much hinges, I think, on Bristol City Preston at both ends of the table. Bristol City, since that Swansea game that I've referenced multiple times, have been incredible at home. I just don't fully trust them. I think we saw that last night, albeit you're playing against arguably the best team who can blow any team away. But I don't know, with the pressure on, you know, have they got the ability to cope with that? And Preston has still got some strong, I know I've just predicted them to potentially go down, but they've got a lot of experience. They're quite robust. They're quite strong. They've got an experienced manager. That's going to be the tightest of all the games. Maybe that could be, you know, 1-1, nervy, late goal, you know, but I think, you know, a lot hinges on that. I'm kind of saying Blackburn or Bristol City in there with Coventry. Coventry to win, and then Bristol City and Blackburn maybe going down to the last minutes of the day. Because I think now, well, someone had just educated me on this, Bristol City have all of a sudden got an inferior goal difference to Blackburn as well, with 2 points separating them.
All right. Well, you were surprised, Clarkey, to hear that Quimbet, at the time of recording, which is 10:30 on Tuesday morning, had Derby at 18-1 to go down. Are you just as shocked to hear that they've got Bristol City as 1-11 on to make the playoffs?
I won't be putting any hard cash on that, I'm afraid. you shouldn't really be taking the mickey out of Quimbet here, but that is...
I'm just telling you what the price is. Coventry 1-2, Blackburn 4-1, Millwall 13-2.
Yeah, no, it's a losable game against Preston, no doubt about it. Yeah,
Fascinating. Really looking forward to it. That's the Championship. We'll do League One next. And Sam was in North Wales to see Wrexham get promoted yet again this weekend. Past, they beat Charlton by 3-0. Who was the biggest celebrity that you saw?
Oh, where to start? Where to start? The biggest celebrity I saw. I haven't got nothing witty for you. I was going to say Caroline Barker, previously of this parish. So that'll work, wouldn't it, for a cheap laugh? Caroline was magnificent. She was majestic. It was so much going on, honestly. She was just top of her game. Brilliant sign-off, if you haven't seen it, at the end of the celebrations, at the end of the show. But yeah, I did my little pre-match preview. Very quickly after exiting my motor vehicle, because Ryan Reynolds was perfectly in shot about 10 yards from the camera. So I didn't have a chance to think about what I was going to say, but I think we got the shot that we craved with the film star making his way down the tunnel. And it was quite interesting. The buzz, like even amongst us that were covering the game, was amazing pre-match, because obviously we'd had news of Orient's victory over Wickham. The owners had watched it in a box over on the far side, and there was a lot of kind of backslapping and kind of whooping, and you could hear the crowds around Wrexham, obviously in that pub, the Turf, I think it's called. So obviously they were really in the mood, and I think it's difficult, Clarky. I'm sure you've been in those situations, not to get carried away because they needed that to go their way. But I was just thinking, oh my goodness, this is the worst possible opponent for them. Charlton are coming here with a chance of promotion, incredibly confident, with Nathan Jones scaring the life out of us and anybody else in his part. You know, I just thought this has got all the ingredients to go spectacularly wrong. And then after 20 minutes, all those thoughts diminished, because Wrexham were 2 goals to the good. Charlton had had 2 kind of injury issues going into the game. Berry hadn't made it. Thierry Small hadn't made it, have been a massive part, I think, of the last few weeks, the run they've been on. I think that, in essence, was their fight over, really. And the way they started again, the way they defended was terrible. Wrexham were at it from the first whistle. The crowd were up. And my goodness me, they would have been so relieved to have that 2-goal cushion to take into the second half and, in essence, canter to victory. Vast experience in the Wrexham team. Scar, 9 out of 10. Matty James, 9 out of 10. And Sam Smith up front for half an hour. Breathtakingly good performance under enormous pressure. Mobile, aggressive, really roughed up the strong Charlton centre-halves. Scored an amazing goal. Just a brilliant day, really. Loved it. Loved being a part of it. The owners came over to be interviewed by Caroline just after I joined the presentation team. I'd had to slalom across the pitch, climb over various supporters. So I had a bit of a dab on, and no sooner I was met by two actors being interviewed live on the live on the telly. So that was a bit of a baptism of fire for me. But no, really good fun. And I think it's easy and it's natural to get carried away about the money. And of course, there's huge finances in League One with them, and obviously Birmingham being the two get promoted. But you know, Wrexham were a good side when I was playing. Went to the racecourse, played against Trundle. Carlos Edwards was in the team. Andy Morrell scoring 30 goals a season, and the supporters have had a real tough time, haven't they, watching not that quality of football, to put it lightly. So they're just football fans from the local area living a dream at the moment. So you have to just enjoy it, I think, from afar. So congratulations to them. And my goodness me, if I was a player, what I would have done to have been playing for that team at the moment, with those owners, with that spotlight, it would have been incredible. So their man Birmingham, it's going to be fascinating next year. If you were going to put me on a spot now, I'd say well away from trouble, both teams. Probably be more confident about Birmingham just because of the style, but I'd be very surprised if either of them are in relegation trouble next year.
We mentioned it with Leeds, Clarkie. It would be incredibly harsh. There's no danger that Wrexham are thinking, is Phil Parkinson the man for the Championship? Is there? He surely at least starts the season.
Yeah. He's gone back to back to back. I mean, no one's ever done that before. No team has done it, let alone a manager. Yeah, look, I was hoping to bump into him at the EFL Awards. I think he was there, but I didn't see him to speak to. Because, you know, I would have said, you know, people would have said at the outset that you're not Hollywood enough to be Wrexham manager, and that you would be someone that would sort of fall by the wayside. But it's a marriage made in heaven, isn't it? And why would they want to break that up at the moment, you know? So yeah, they might at some point, of course, they might have to change things around and maybe play a different brand of football. The brand of football that they've got is very effective and they're excellent at it. And I think that they should stick with him. Of course they should stick with him. I think Wrexham are more likely to be mid-table next season, maybe just in the top half. For me, Birmingham will at least be in the playoffs. They will spend big time in the coming weeks and months. I've got no doubt about that.
Yeah, just quickly, the owners paid homage to Paul Mullen and Ollie Palmer in the post-match. And I spoke to both the lads before the game and bitterly disappointed still to not be involved and not to rain on their parade. Obviously, I don't know in depth where the decision's coming from to kind of cast those two aside, but they should be obviously praised hugely for their contribution, I think, to Wrexham's success across the last few years, because it was about the strike force. It was about the goal power prior to this season, where they've had to approach it a different way. And I think as well, that shows you it's still a business, and me and Clarkie will know that. And some hard decisions, some harsh decisions have been taken at that club this season by whether it's Sean Harvey, whether it's the owners, whether it's Phil Parkinson. They felt for whatever reason they needed to spruce up to improve the strike force. I mean, Smith is incredible, but Rodriguez getting the nod, Fletcher obviously being added in as well. They've made some massive decisions and it's been to the detriment of those two guys, who have of course been a huge part of the journey and have still got length left on their contract. So watch this space.
Yeah, see whether they're there for the championship campaign. So Wrexham and Birmingham, the top two. Stockport, Wickham and Charlton all in the playoffs. Then it's between Orient and Reading for the final spot. They both got 75 points. Orient, far superior goal difference. Reading play Barnsley, so they'll have to better Orient's result against Huddersfield. I guess they're hoping, Adrian, that the Orient will be a bit jittery, but it looks like an uphill task for the Royals, who, as we've said, have done tremendously well to even be in this position.
I think it's set up really nicely. Like Huddersfield away, I know Huddersfield are in wretched form, but it's still an away game, you know, big ground. It's not a gimme. And Reading are at home to Barnsley, had nothing on it, and you know they've not been amazing, sort of managerless Barnsley, aren't they, at the moment? So it's alive, definitely. What I will say is that Orient have been really good away this season, and they've won half their away games. Now Orient is not a big League One club, you know, they're probably League Two size, aren't they, maybe League One at a push, but you know, to win half their away games, be fourth in the away table, will give them great confidence. They've also got the division's most informed striker. And talking about Smith and Rodriguez there, but Charlie Kelman has come from nowhere to maybe win the Golden Boot. 13 goals in his last 16 matches, 6 in his last 5. He's hit the sweet spot at just the right time in the season. So, and you know, they've got Jamie Donnelly there, who's another good, talented boy. Got the experience of Omar Beckles, Prattley in and amongst it in the dressing room. So they've got lots of experience and quality. Reading have got kids, and those kids are doing superbly. But yeah, you just think if it comes down to experience, that's where they'll fall short. But I like a lot of the kids. There's Tyler Binder in the centre-half's good. And I like the midfield three. They play every week. Savage, Wing and Nibs play every single week, and they do a really, really good job for them. And you've got the wide players as well, Chem Campbell and Basheman, who are match winners as well. They're kind of doing this without a striker because they lost Smith. Didn't they? They lost Smith in January. So they've sort of muddled on. Jaden Wareham's come in and has done all right. But, you know, to be where they are now, Reading, on the final day is amazing, given that they lost Sellers, the manager, and they lost Sam Smith, their best striker. So well done to all concerned at Reading. But I would fancy the O's just to get the job done at Huddersfield.
Imagine if Ruben Sellers ends up back in League One with Hull and Reading go to the Championship. He'd be absolutely devastated, wouldn't he? Relegation-wise in League One, it's pretty much done. Cambridge has confirmed at the weekend. There's only 3 points between Burton, who are 20th, and Crawley and Bristol Rovers in the final two spots. But the goal difference means that it is essentially done. And we are recording with Burton still 2 games to go. So a point for them and it would be done in midweek. I think we ought to give some more love to Burton, haven't we, Sam? You and I tipped them as a surprise package at the start of the season. We meant the surprise package to stay up after making an awful start, just to clarify that. But yeah, I mean, Gary Bowyer is up there with manager of the season for me. Absolutely extraordinary. We mentioned where they were when he took over. To get them where they are now, the right side of that perforated line is pretty incredible.
Yeah, last 12 games, top half Burton. Was it 2 wins, I think, from the first 15? 9 wins in 19 at the moment. Incredible, I think, structure of the team. Obviously, goal scorers, good additions. I think those two go hand in hand, the organisation of the team, but some savvy selections and some savvy, you know, work in the transfer market. Would have been a brilliant moment. The last minute goal, last time out against Cambridge. Obviously, that was defining for both teams. But yeah, I would 100% echo that. And you look at the tussle, you look at the relegation battle the last few weeks, Crawley wouldn't be in this predicament had Scott Lindsay gone in there earlier either. I think 4 wins from 8 for him. Obviously, it's circumstantial the way that he found himself back at the club, but too little too late for them. But yeah, absolutely, Gary Bowyer is up there with the best jobs done in the third tier this season, no question.
One of the many clubs that you have affection for, Clarkey, Cambridge have gone. They finish home to Birmingham City, so not an easy way to finish what's been a miserable season for them. But I think the thing that they've got in their favour is it seems like a pretty well-run club, right? State owner from the statement this week after... Owner from the statement? Statement from the owner this week after the relegation, basically saying, sorry, this is how we plan to fix it. And again, another club who've been in and around relegation for the last couple of years, but you don't feel that this is devastating for them because they're properly set up and they've got a decent manager in Neil Harris if they can hold on to him.
Yeah, I think on reflection they held on to Gary Monk too long, didn't they? It felt like they were slowly but surely heading towards the bottom, and that's what happened in the end. And look, yeah, to get Neil Harris and, you know, Mark Bonner in the building working together effectively as, you know, with Bonner upstairs, Harris in the dugout, I mean, that's a pretty good combination. There's a lot of good football knowledge there. And yeah, I think if they recruit well in the summer, I have no reason to think that they wouldn't recruit well, then I would put them among the favourites to maybe be at the top end of League Two next season. So yeah, a little bit like Morecambe as an EFL club, you know, always punching. It was always going to come to an end at some point. I think Cambridge in League One was always a stretch. You know, it's not a big club, and they did well to stay there for as long as they did.
Yeah, I think probably another club that wanted to go a slightly different way, a bit more progressive under Gary Monk, and obviously had that hellish start to the season. I think it picked up in the autumn time. I remember wheeling out that story that I'd had dinner with Michael Morrison and turned their fortunes around when they won 3 on the spin or something. But and you look at the players they brought in last summer as well, or the squad that they've accumulated, some big names in that squad, and for whatever reason, and sometimes it can happen, form, the fit, a lot of these guys haven't featured particularly. So I think that's been an effect, and I think also injuries, lack of goals to a squad that's got some decent players in it. So I think obviously mid-season have had to make a bit of a U-turn, and it looks from the outside that Neil Harris and Mark Bonner are pretty well aligned in terms of the way they want to do things, and it'll probably be akin to what got Cambridge success previously. And they expect it to be a big summer of wheeling and dealing to get the squad looking right for challenge next campaign.
All right, they're into League Two, so are we next. Promoted this weekend past, we didn't think that anybody actually wanted to go up from League Two, but Doncaster Rovers and Port Vale have done that. A mea culpa, then, Adrian, from all of us to Darren Moore. Was this his level, or has he done a brilliant job and he should get some praise from us?
Oh, no, yes. Yeah, of course he should get praise. Yeah, no, he's done it. He's done really well. You know, they came down, they bounced straight back up, and yeah, some good bits of recruitment, and you know, there's a nice bit of depth about the squad, but different ways of playing as well. Finished the season really, really strongly. So no, look, they deserve to go up. Darren Moore, we never said he's a bad manager. We just... a little bit like Daniel Farker, of question marks about how good he is tactically. But this season, he's done a terrific job. So well done to him. Well done to Donny, who, yeah, I mean, both those teams, they've gone up automatically, but they've both had some really dodgy patches during this season. And they haven't, you know, they've been spells where they really didn't look like promotion teams. But they came on strong at just the right time. So yeah, we wish them both the best of luck.
Yeah, Doncaster, the team who've managed a bit of consistent form. Both sides going for the title on the final day. Rovers know they'll be champions if they can match Vale's result. Elsewhere on the final day, Bradford City occupy the final promotion spot. A win against Fleetwood will secure League One football for them. Be a bit embarrassing, Sam, for the people who sorted out the votes at the EFL Awards, given that Graham Alexander got Manager of the Year in League Two, if they miss out on it. Walsall, crikey, is there any chance that they can do it? They face Crewe. They need to better Bradford's result and match Notts County's to finish third. They've won two of their last 20 league games. It is an extraordinary, it's not even a stumble, is it? It's just a fall off a cliff.
Yeah, I think they're bottom of the form table that I've referred to a few times on today's podcast, which tells the story. I mean, you can look at the games. Home to Accrington was last weekend, away to Crewe. Crewe have fallen off. Gosh, surely they're going to win one of those. They're not winning any games. So, you know, ultimately, you can't make a strong case. Stranger things have happened, but you can't make any kind of case for them winning this weekend and getting into the auto. So it looks like playoffs for them. Obviously, because of the conversation we've been having for weeks now, there's been a huge drop off from all these clubs. Even Bradford are suffering defeats at the moment. There's only Chesterfield and the two teams that have been promoted in any kind of form. So it's set up brilliantly. That leads us on to obviously AFC Wimbledon going to Grimsby, all of a sudden in a position where they've got to get something, and Grimsby, because of Salford's form as well, are fighting out for one position, which a few weeks ago you would have said AFC Wimbledon was set in the playoffs, absolutely minimum, and a great opportunity of getting promoted. The form of all these sides going into the final day is not where they want it to be at all. So it's brilliantly set up for us neutrals.
Yeah, no, it's going to be great. I spoke to Graham Alexander. I think he'd had a few beers, to be fair. But he was really nice. He was really nice, really friendly. But he was so pumped for this weekend, you know. He says the players have... Because I said you've cracked the home form. You know, you've talked about it, haven't you, Sam? About, you know, in years gone by, they've struggled to be that big club and to thrive in that stadium. But he said, look, the players have cracked it. They've cracked the code. They're comfortable playing in front of that crowd now, and they can use it as an advantage. And, yeah, he just said... The fans have got to turn up and believe in the team, and you know, I wouldn't expect them to fluff it.
Such a great game for them, isn't it? You want the team 14th in the league rather than going for the playoffs or trying to avoid relegation.
Yeah, I could see Port Vale maybe winning the title because Donny have got to go to Notts County, and I spoke to David McGoldrick, and he said, yeah, all right, yeah, we're in the playoffs, but we're still thinking we can get automatics here.
Beat Doncaster, hope Bradford lose, and Walsall drop points, and that's not going up automatically.
It's not. It's completely unrealistic, is it? So I think that the Notts have a shot at it. But yeah, the big game for me is Wimbledon Grimsby. That's huge. Big swing game, isn't it? Winner sort of takes it all. But you would say that Salford will win at Carlisle, surely. I mean, Salford have been flying at the moment. Lost one of their last nine. They've beaten Salford, by the way, lately. Grimsby, Bromley, Notts County and Colchester United. So they've done it, beating some pretty good teams as well, Salford. So, yeah, it's fantastic. Obviously, done and dusted at the bottom, but at the top end, it's all happening.
We saw evidence of it last night, the Leeds game against Bristol City, that Bradford Fleetwood game. You know, if the punters turn up with what's at stake, Fleetwood 14th in a division. I'm not sure how many times it happens, but it's a rarity. If they get an early goal, that will be, I think, a canter to victory. I was on the wrong side of it in an Oldham team on loan going to Millwall. They needed the win for the title, 5-0. Didn't get a kick. Like, the atmosphere was just electric, and we folded to a degree. So yeah, I'll be interested to see the statistics for the side that are in essence on the beach going to a team that can get promoted in a stadium that at the moment is incredibly vibrant. It is rocking.
It screams Tifo, doesn't it? It's got to have made some kind of big banner. If not, do what Leeds did. It looked good, didn't it, with all those yellow scarves? I thought that looked amazing. So, yeah, get those scarves made, Bradford. Get it rocking. Just avoid the light show. No one likes light shows. No, unnecessary, yeah.
So as we say, a win for Bradford against Fleetwood, and they secure League One football. Just to round up those playoff permutations, Walsall and Notts guaranteed a place. Wimbledon will join them if they draw against Grimsby, who themselves can make the playoffs with a win. Win for Salford against Carlisle will see them finish in the top seven. Chesterfield and Colchester need slip-ups from the teams above them to have hopes of reaching the playoffs. Brief word on Carlisle, Clarkey, relegated last weekend. Did they appoint Mark Hughes too late? I note that they signed 26 players and had three managers this season. And I also note, probably not on an unrelated note, that sporting director Rob Clarkson has left the club.
Of course he has. Yeah. I think he was copping a lot of stick. Look, it's been a theme of the pod, hasn't it, today, when we've been talking about teams that have struggled. It's they tried to change the style of the football, you know, and you know, brought in a philosophy coach and, you know, a really good coach. But it just didn't work for whatever reason. And yeah, they probably did turn to Mark Hughes a little bit too late, because they're not really in relegation form, are they, Carlisle? I think, yeah, if the season had gone on a little bit longer, they could have saved themselves. So yeah, look, Carlisle will be back though. I've got no doubt about that. They won't be in the National League for very long. Morecambe, I'd say, might find it tougher because obviously got massive issues around the ownership. But with Carlisle's ownership, it's still relatively new. There'll be still plenty of energy there in the building. And I think there'd just be a steely determination. A bit like Birmingham, maybe, when they went down to League One. Let's throw everything we can at it to get come straight back up and just treat this as a blip. So yeah, I think they will be okay, but it's sad to see them go, you know, because it's a big club, but, you know, they should be in the 92 really.
Think Mark Hughes would stick around there, Sam? Do you fancy the National League?
My gut
loves his 30 though, doesn't he? He loves
it. Yeah, you have to be to take. I mean, we know Bradford's a huge club. We're seeing the evidence of that now. Carlisle, likewise, I'm with you. Clarkey, you know, should very much be in the top four divisions, but they're not, is the reality. I suppose the one thing is, as Clarkey kind of said there, they've got new owners and they've probably got the backing to give him some good players and to, yeah, be challenging at the top end of the division next year. So maybe he'd stay on, but still I'd be surprised if they didn't potentially cherry pick one with that maybe National League experience, you know, someone who's been at a so-called bigger club in the National League and maybe got the experience of taking a team out of that division.
All right, we'll have to wait and see on that. We are wrapping things up for today, but of course we've got predictions to come. Not good for Adrian and I last week. We neither of us got a single point. Sam managed to get three of them. Absolutely embarrassing for the two of us. That, but because it's the last regulation season predictions, they are worth 5 points per correct result and 10 points for a nailed-on score this weekend. So you could be reeled in here, Sam. What do you think to that?
I'm expecting to go downstairs and see someone from Royal Mail with an engraved trophy for me, if that is the case. Are you handing defeat? Are you accepting defeat already?
No, because we're going to get massive points. Basically,
all right, TBC, I will message you both later with my deal for the games ahead.
All right, basically what happened was Clarkey messaged me this morning and said, should we try and wind up Sam and tell him that it's going to be loads more points than normal and you haven't bitten, which is really annoying.
He hasn't bitten, it's disappointing, isn't it? 66 to Sam, 54 to me, Matt 52. Look,
great number for English football. Great year for English football there.
I think we keep the scores the same now for this week, right? But the playoffs, maybe we just jazz it up to keep the interest alive. Maybe the playoffs, we could go with the 5 and 10 points. And let's see if you win the playoffs, mate.
5 and 10 points.
All right, let's get through this week and see where we are. We're going to start with Bristol City against Preston. We spent a lot of time talking about the game, Adrian. What's going to happen in it?
1-0 Bristol City.
Tight one. Sam?
Yeah, I'm just like ridiculously contradicting myself on podcasts this morning. I'll have to stick with what I was going with earlier, right? I'm quite like the 1-1 here, but I'll go 2-1 Bristol City.
All right, thumping victory for the Robins for me. 4-1 in that one, I would say. Rotherham v Peterborough, Sam. What's going to happen?
Oh my goodness me.
No one cares. Why have you picked this one?
You should have had a look at that, shouldn't I?
I had a look and I thought, am I just going to pick three games that we've already spoken about loads, or am I going to pick some that are actually going to be really difficult to predict?
Last day, that's got Desmond written all over it. 2-2.
Yeah? Clarkey?
3-1 Posh.
I'm going to say it's going to be... I'm going to go for a different result for you two just to spice it up a bit, I'm going to say it's going to be 1-0 Rotherham. Morecambe v Harrogate to finish then. Not a great season for either of them, but a particularly bad one for Morecambe. And I think that salt is going to be rubbed into that particular wound by Simon Weaver et al. And that they will pick up a 3-1 victory. Adrian?
Nah, Morecambe are going to go out of a bang here. Morecambe 2, Harrogate 0. Harrogate don't care.
Well, Sam?
Knows his stuff, Clarkie. Yeah, Harrogate. Just they got a dinner booked, some nice bar in Harrogate. All the lads, probably families as well. Just want to get on the bus. Morecambe, loads of young kids, given an opportunity. One of those boys with a winner. 1-0.
Okay. We shall see. Interesting. All right, before we do Tweet of the Week, let me remind you of the offer from our partners, Quinbet. You can now get 50% back up to £35 and 10 free spins. If your account has sportsbook losses at the end of your first day's betting, Quinbet will refund 50% of your losses as a free bet up to £35, minimum three bets, plus 10 free online casino spins at Quin Casino. Even if your account's up, you're guaranteed a £5 free bet plus 10 free spins, provided you place at least one bet of £10 or greater at the minimum odds. T's and C's apply. It's 18 plus and for new UK customers only. Visit gamblerware.org for information on responsible gambling. Two for one here on Tweet of the Week. Before we go, two Burnley players both quote tweeting the official club accounts announcing that Scott Parker is the Sky Bet Championship manager of the season. Josh Brownhill says, could only be one man, applause emoji. Josh Laurent says, never in doubt, exclamation mark, the greatest, handshake emoji, applause emoji. Oh, Clarkie, if you're in charge of the fines in the Burnley dressing room, how much are you charging these two? This is unacceptable.
Look, do you know what? I think that if this would have happened in my era, they'd have been grilled and definitely as a fine. Definitely. You're getting battered for brown nosing, aren't you? But I think there's a bit of a cult of Scott Parker thing going on at Burnley. You know, they love him. They absolutely love it. Honestly, having seen it, so I saw it close up at the weekend, they absolutely love him. And they're grateful to him because he's taken them back into the Premier League. So I'm gonna forgive the lads on this. I mean, to say he was the greatest, that is quite ballsy, especially from Josh Laurent, who's been dropped the last few games for Hannibal Mejbury. That's quite yeah, I don't know if there's a little bit of tongue in cheek there or not, or whether he's just genuinely not bitter at all about that. That's a bit strong, but no, I'm gonna say this is what makes the Burnley dressing room so special. They love each other. And they're not afraid, Matt, of showing the world or telling the world how much they love each other. I think there's a lot to like about that. Or is that just me being all mushy?
Which one's more egregious, Sam? For me, it's Laurent because he calls him the greatest as well.
Got to be, innit? It's got to be. But no, I'm all for that. And I am a fan. I am a fan of Scott Parker. Since I played against him at about 13 years of age, and he was on a different planet to myself at that age, and then I continued throughout our subsequent careers as well.
At that point, did you have him pegged as somebody who would dress as a World War One fighter pilot when he got to this age?
Nah, because all I'd had to go on, other than seeing him in his Charlton kit, would have been him in the red of McDonald's when he did that advert. So that's all I had to go on. I did enjoy, you must have enjoyed this, in being on the pitch of his family after the promotion was confirmed and his two lads had the jumpers on. Is it Tom Brown? Is it? Is that the brand? They had the same jumpers on, which I just thought was magnificent. I am a fan of his. So, and it's nice. And that's, you know, kind of thinking Gareth Southgate here, the way that he brought the young lads together at England, he's obviously managing in a similar vein. So it's lovely.
Yeah, he's really nice. He is a really nice guy. But I definitely think he might be being weighed in to wear the clobber, because even on a really hot, sunny day at Loftus Road, he's winning 5-0, he still kept the coat on the whole game. I just thought there must be some kind of deal there, because it hasn't come off all season, has it?
Extraordinary seeds.
I'm always very, very aware if a jacket's a little bit too short for me, probably because of my physique. But he goes for that look, doesn't he? It's just like top of the belt. It does it fit? But this is style, isn't it? Which you can only applaud.
Yeah.
I mean, we've kind of done what Brownhill and Laurent did there and just lavished him with praise. But fair enough, he has earned it. Okay, that's going to do us for today. We'll be back next week to tell you how that final day shook out and look ahead to the playoffs too. Can't wait for it. Enjoy it if you can, if you're going to a game. Hope your nerves stand up to it. Thanks to Sam and Adrian, as ever. Back with you again next week. Bye for now.